And we're going to explore in part two. I'm going in tonight from the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we're going to study the 25th and the 26th chapters before we get over to Genesis 46, where we're going, and the climactic end of how the serpent got into the house of Israel. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I didn't know the serpent got into the house of Israel. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's all been from the word go, from Genesis 3, 14, and 15. Like we talked about in our series on the serpent tracks, it's all been about genetics. That's what it's about tonight, genetics. Satan, knowing that he could create a genetic nightmare for Yahweh, and the other gods, the Elohim, they're called, that he could wreak havoc. Because once you mingle the seed, and that's one of the plans of Satan, was to mingle the seed. But Yahweh, in his infinite wisdom, he correctly kept a pure bred bloodline from the men that he chose. And you can see Satan trying to intervene. Now, he knew that Esau was going to be the elder, and that Yahweh's law had said that the blessing, the covenant, and everything that's given to the prophet, in this case Abraham, would go to Abraham's elder son. And so he began to work in that relationship. Just as soon as Isaac, the promised son, and, you know, the amazing thing, if you read the scriptures about genetics, notice here in Genesis chapter 25, and then we'll go to 26 if you get your Bible. Let's start our study tonight. Okay, and the book of Genesis, and I'm over here in the book of Numbers wandering around for some reason, I don't know why, but let me get over here to where we're going to start our study tonight. That's in 26 and 25. Genesis, we're going to 25 first, and we're going to talk about Isaac and Ishmael. They buried Abraham in the 9th verse. And after they buried Abraham, it's clear in verse 5 who the birthright son was. See, Isaac was the first son. But he wasn't the first born son. Abraham had a son named Ishmael that was older than Isaac. Yeah. Because, you see, Ishmael was put out with Hagar. When Sarah conceived, she ended the relationship because she had told Abraham to bring children into the family because Abraham needed a seed. But this seed was not proper. Ishmael was not from the proper bloodline. Well, who was? How was it that Sarah and Abraham's child, Isaac, was proper and acceptable, but Ishmael was not? Hagar was from the Egyptian handmaid. that was given to Sarah for servitude. And she suggested that Abraham have a relationship with her and bring him a child into the family. And that's exactly what he done. Abraham just followed directions. But Yahweh intervenes here. Now notice, in verse 5, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. That's because that Abraham had to put Hagar, his wife, and their son. Now think about this. How difficult it was, and it was difficult for Abraham. But he followed directions, and he put Hagar and Ishmael out into the desert, and the only thing that he gave them was a bottle of water. And a loaf of bread. I mean, he didn't give him anything. Here, Isaac, at the death of Abraham did not remember Ishmael, his son. Think about that. He left him exclusively out of the will and gave everything. And I mean everything, it says. He gave all that he had unto Isaac. Well, does Yahweh have respect to persons? No. But he has respect too. There's the difference. Isaac, let's find out why that Isaac was such an interesting figure here. Well, if you look at Sarah and Abraham and Isaac, you'll find out that there is some strange things going on here. Remember when Yahweh come to visit Abraham, he told him, he said, well, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 90. And so it was almost physically, if you'll believe, nature for them to have a child. And Yahweh visited Sarah, as he had said. And Yahweh did unto Sarah, what'd he do? He visited her and then he did something to her. That's strange. Well, is it any more stranger than Genesis chapter 3? When Yahweh's son Abel was killed by the Canaanite seed of Cain? Yahweh's been trying to get a child here, ladies and gentlemen. If you can just smell the coffee here and get on the trail, if you're a good blood hound, you're gonna trace the lineage of Abel, the son of God slain from the foundation of the world, which was typical of Isaac, who here it says, Yahweh visited Sarah. That's Strong's number 6485. If you want to look at that word visit, it's an interesting Hebrew word, but you can go ahead and look at it and see what it says here. And Yahweh did unto Sarah. The question is, what did Yahweh do? Did Yahweh himself impregnate Sarah? Did he overshadow Sarah just like he overshadowed Mary? When Mary conceived of the seed of Almighty God. You see, this is not so much uncommon for Yahweh to visit women and get them pregnant. Well, it wasn't too uncommon for Satan to do the same thing. Well, that sets us up for Genesis chapter 26, where we're going just in a moment, and we're trying to trail. But I want to talk about Esau for just a moment before we get into the aspects, because we left off last night before I got to finish up about Esau. And Esau was a son, as it was supposed, of Isaac. Now, Isaac is born at a set time. And that's what it says here in verse 2. That's very interesting. We could teach an hour or two on that, the set time, at the time of equinox. That's at the time of the revolution. That's what that means there. So Isaac was a proper child, meaning that the times and the seasons were pronounced by and timed by his birth, that he was a constellational child that was plugged into the time frame at the equinox. In other words, at the time, at the set time of which God had spoken to him, and Abraham called the name of his son whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Isaac, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Think about that. Abraham, 100 years old. But it says in verse 1 that Yahweh visited Sarah. Now, I don't know if I'm reading too much into that. You may think I am. But it says here, he visited her, and Yahweh did unto Sarah. Now, whatever he did was a mystery that Isaac here is the seed of the promise. Not the seed of a man, because the seed of man is not the seed of the promise. It's the seed of the Spirit. I don't know how this works, but Yahweh had something major to do. Well, I think I know how it works, but, I mean, you know, you wouldn't probably believe it if I told you. If you're skeptical about what I've already said, you certainly wouldn't believe what I believe about how she was impregnated. You certainly have to admit that Yahweh has the capabilities of getting a woman pregnant, because he got Miriam, as it says in Hebrew, he got Miriam pregnant. She was this young girl. And he overshadowed her, and she got with child. Now, however that happens, however that seed of Yahweh, the Bible said he wasn't born of the blood of man, so he didn't have a man's blood in him. Well, did Isaac have man's blood in him? Or was he one of these immaculate conceptions? You know, of course, Sarah wasn't a virgin. They tried to get a child, tried. But they couldn't get one. But Yahweh visited Sarah, and she got a child. And he did unto her what he said. Well, what he said is the mystery of the whole message. But the greater message is this: what Satan did unto Rebekah, Sarah's daughter-in-law. We're going to prove unto you over here that Rebekah, who was pregnant with twins, one good and one bad. Now, how could she get pregnant? Now, if Isaac was the son of Yahweh, and I believe he was, he impregnated Rebekah, his wife. And she came up with two different seeds in her womb, one good and one bad. One of these seeds Yahweh hated from the very beginning, before he was ever born. Yahweh hated Esau. But Satan loved Esau. And Satan, the power of the flesh now, he maneuvered Esau around into the womb, because there was a covenant sworn by Yahweh to Abraham. Now listen to what it said here. This is in Genesis 26. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith. The daughter of Benerah the Hittite, and Bashamath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine, verse 35, which was a grief of mine unto Isaac and Rebekah. Now, Esau did something here that caused him grief of mine, because he married the Hittite. Now, let's find out who the Hittites were. The Hittites were numbered amongst the enemies of Israel in Genesis chapter 15. So if you go to Genesis 15, you'll see that it says in verse 18, the same day Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham. This is the covenant. Well, it was a grief of Rebekah and Isaac, because they knew the covenant that Yahweh had made and told Abraham, certainly do not go into any of these nations. There's 10 of them now. Listen to this. The Kenites, the nation of the Kenzites, and the Canaanites. The Hittites, the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. I talked about the Jebusite, Jebus, the city of Jebus, Jerusalem, where these Jebusites reigned with the children of Judah and Esau. Edom. Edomites. Herod was an Edomite who killed all the male children in Galilee. It was in Ramah that a voice was heard weeping for the children. It was the voice of the daughters of Rachel. Now, Rachel is the mother of Esau. I'm sorry. That's not right. Rebecca was the wife of Jacob, who was from Rebecca. So it's Rebecca that was the mother of Esau. And she was the mother of twins. Rebecca was. And Rebecca, in her pursuit, trying to figure out what was wrong here. And we're going to find out what's wrong, and we're going to read it here. And it's very interesting. Just like Yahweh said he would visit Sarah, and he did unto her whatever he did. But anyway, she got pregnant. And if we look, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah the wife. 40 years. The daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now, if you take the Laban priesthood, remember, Laban was a priest. And Jacob actually worked for this man, for his daughters. He only worked 7 years for Rachel. But Laban tricked him. That's what preachers will do to you. And he had to work another 14 years to get Rachel, but he worked 7 years and got Leah. He didn't love Leah. The Bible plainly tells you that he loved Rachel. Well, it was Rachel's children weeping because of Esau, Herod, the Esau Canaanite Edomite. So here we have the reward of Isaac's twin boys. And Isaac entreated, now listen to this, verse 21. And Isaac entreated Yahweh for his wife because she was barren, just like Sarah. Something running in the family here. Yahweh has control here, it looks like. But he didn't wait hardly as long. See, Sarah was 90 years old. She was 91 when she had Isaac. Abraham was 99. He was 100 when Isaac was born. But it was Yahweh that visited Sarah, and as Yahweh did something to her, whatever he did. And he said, well, he wouldn't dare have sex with her. Well, he had sex with Mary. Well, you know, it might not have been like physical sex. But then again, it could have been. It don't say it wasn't. It don't say it was. But we do know that Miriam conceived in her womb with a child as soon as Yahweh, it says he overshadowed her. So he was in her presence when she got pregnant. So we can't blame the child on Joseph, because Joseph was mindful to put her away because he hadn't had any relationship with her. She was just a spouse to Joseph, and he felt betrayed. He actually had cause to leave, but the angel told him not to. And he was mindful. The Bible said he had in his mind put her away. And he had the right to under the law. Because she fooled around. But who she fooled around with? I mean, he's the potter. What's the clay going to say to the potter? What did you do that to me for? I mean, the potter can do anything he wants to with the clay. And the spirit overpowers the flesh. In Yahweh's case, it's a piece of cake. For Yahweh to do whatever he wants to do. And in this case, he's going to make darn sure that his sons were from his bloodline. And you say, Buddy, are you out of your mind? These sons that we're talking about here, Isaac and Jacob, not Esau now. Esau wasn't from the bloodline of Yahweh. But Isaac and Jacob were from the bloodline of Yahweh. They had Yahweh's blood. Yahweh is not only the root of David, he's the offspring. And so then Yahweh himself battled, closed the womb, sealed it so she couldn't get pregnant, and Satan could slip into the act. Now, if Yahweh can impregnate a woman, question is, can Satan impregnate a woman? You say, well, no, he can't. Well, then that's going to take us out of the garden episode when Satan got a seed in Genesis 3:14 and 15. But there's your code key to two seeds in the garden. Eve was pregnant with two seeds, just like Rebecca here was pregnant with two seeds. One good and one bad. How is it? The Bible said if a tree is good, it will produce a good fruit. Well, Adam was good, but he didn't know Eve at that time. He knew her after she was pregnant, but you can know a woman 1,000 times after she's pregnant and she's done sealed her womb. She cannot no longer be impregnated again until the 270-day cycle and then a cleansing, and then she can get pregnant again. If Yahweh opens her womb. In this case, Yahweh had closed Rebecca's womb just like he closed Sarah's womb, but Yahweh picked a day to visit Sarah and he opened her womb. He did to her something that he promised he would do. He said, I will visit Sarah about this time next year, told Abraham that, swore to him in a covenant. Well, and in 26:1, it says that he did visit Sarah, and she conceived and had a son. Only after Yahweh visited her. Her womb was closed. Abraham had tried and tried, and he couldn't get a child. Now, is it possible for Yahweh to plant the seed and for Abraham to claim the price? Yes, it is. Certainly, most certainly is. And if that's the case, and that's really what happened, and it could be, well, let's look on a little bit more here. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, the hand, and I will make you swear to Yahweh of heaven, on whom of the earth, whom that thou shalt take a wife of my son, thou shalt not take a wife for my son out of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Abraham dwelt right among them. 10 nations were scattered around him because the Bible says Yahweh is going to use Abraham's seed to drive out these Canaanites. But in this case, it was a promise that hadn't been fulfilled. It was only fulfilled when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. We're going to tell you who came out with them. And this is the $64 question when we get around to it. Not only did the house of Israel from the true sons of Yahweh come out, but a mixed multitude. We're going to get into the word cause of that and tell you exactly what that means. So then we've got a battle of genetics going on here, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Satan trying to pollute the seed with his own seed. And I believe for sure that just like Yahweh visited Rebecca here, and Yahweh was entreated of him, and Rebecca, his wife, conceived. Now, Isaac couldn't get a seed here because Rebecca's womb was closed, but he entreated Yahweh for his wife, Rebecca, and Yahweh was entreated, meaning he was enticed, and he visited Rebecca, and she got pregnant, just like Sarah, her mother-in-law, got pregnant with Isaac. But in her womb this time is twins. And again, I repeat, I believe they were fraternal twins. Same mother with two different fathers. Just like in Genesis 3:14 and 15, Eve had fraternal twins, two different fathers. Yahweh and Satan fathered the two seeds in the garden, which is the fifth dimensional spirit world. But they were born into the third dimension, and then they were known by their fruits. The Bible said you'll know a tree by its fruits. Abel was good, and Cain was wicked. Because Cain was of the wicked one. Don't say he was of Adam. Everybody believes that Adam had something to do here. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand that these super gods, We call them gods here. Let me call them gods for a moment so that you all be on your playing field and at your level of understanding, because if I call them any other thing like Elohim, that would just blow you probably out a little bit, and you wouldn't understand. So these gods that walked among Adam and Eve in the garden, and these Canaanites that walked among Abraham and Isaac, Satan very well could have kidnapped Rebecca, abducted her, took her on one of his chariots, and inseminated her. However they do that, where it was a physical contact. But you don't have to have physical contact to have children anymore. All you have to have is sperm, and this sperm can be artificially inserted into the vagina, and a woman will take, because she will create an egg for that seed. And when that happens, the ovum of the womb, then life is formed in the womb. In this case, it was life that was formed to live forever, but Yahweh had to put a curse on everything that opened from the womb. And so all died. And that way he was, now the reason he had to do that, because Satan said, oh, he wouldn't dare kill his own seed. But he did. Yahweh himself gave his life freely upon a torture stake. That was Yahweh in the flesh in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Yahweh. The Word was Yahweh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And they killed him 33 years after he was born, which is the high initiation process of the 33rd degree, which if you look at 2/3 of the wealth of the world is in the border region of the 33rd parallel. And Satan knows this. And that's why he's worked overtime to deceive the Christians, especially because they advocate a Savior, a Redeemer. But they don't understand the covenants and the issues and the blood and the genetics and the DNA applications of the struggles that ensued prior to the Messiah himself coming. The Messiah himself was a son of God, a God-fathered the Messiah into the world. Now, let me repeat that. A God, a super God, a great God, a magnanimous God, highly capable of getting seed through a woman. And you say, well, I can't argue against that. I do believe that, but I just don't believe that God, that super God, would go back there and get Rebecca pregnant. Or I don't believe that super God would get Sarah pregnant. Well, if he did it once, he could do it again. And if he'd done it once, he could do it again and again and again, as many times as he preferred or wanted to, because we're the clay and he's the potter. In this case, Yahweh was doing nothing more than protecting his genetics and making sure that Satan would not. But see, Satan being crafty, after Rebecca conceived, now there's a fertile cycle window of 72, and 72 is another major aspect of the Illuminati. How they teach and how that they, the secret rituals from the Master Codes 11, 22 and 33, which eventually gets to 72. And the 72 cycle is 27, that's the width of the arc. 27 by 45, and so it's a 9 bases, 2 plus 7 reduces to 9, and 4 plus 5 reduces to 9, and 9 is a resurrection number. So then we're looking for the seed of a resurrection. And Christ, our Redeemer, was the only one capable, but if Satan had got into the act, he himself could have been a master of a resurrection. And he could have resurrected the wicked along with himself. And boy, we'd have had trouble. Just like we've got trouble in the flesh, we'd had trouble in spirit world. But Yahweh prevented that by sealing the womb and garden, the estate of his DNA, to keep it pure and from being adulterated with the blood of the snake. Because once the blood of the snake gets into the house of Yahweh, we've got major problems. And that's exactly what he'd done, but it didn't get through the royal bloodline. It got through the physical bloodline of Jacob Israel. There is the difference. The children of flesh are not the children of Yahweh, and all that says it's Israel is not Israel. So there we go. I'm getting cranked up. I feel the spirit. Sincere, the ones that can believe like little children. Little children could believe this message. But a hardened renegade separated himself from the spirit and seeking only the traditional of the carnal, no, they're not going to receive it. It's not to them anyway. Yahweh's going to send them a strong delusion. You know, they're still over in the graveyard praying for mom and daddy on Easter Sunday morning. In 24, Abraham said to his servant, I'll make you swear that you won't go and get me a daughter from the Canaanites. See, Yahweh is the seed bearer, sower, and he was going to make sure that this woman was not a Canaanite that he placed his seed in. And so Yahweh, if that servant hadn't done what Abraham made him swear to do, Yahweh would have killed him quicker than grease lightning from heaven. Because Yahweh would never have impregnated a Canaanite to give his seed into a Canaanite woman. That's exactly what Satan was trying to do. Either on the male side of the picture or the female side. It didn't matter. As long as he could mix his genetics with the blood of God, then God himself couldn't untangle the mess. And I'm telling you, this is so complicated that it's simple. And if you are of the simple-minded people of Yahweh, if you're his child, you can understand this. We may be dumb in some things, but I'm telling you, we're pretty wise in other ways. The Canaanites were pagans. Well, they were more than pagans. They were out of the bloodline of Satan. That's exactly what they were from. And they had no right, to the kingdom of heaven. But if Satan had got his children, like he tried to do, blessed, even blessed, under the hand of Yahweh, or Yahweh's prophets, if they had to give their word. You see, a prophet's word is the word of Yahweh. And if the prophet, if Abraham had laid his hands on Isaac, or Ishmael, instead of Isaac, then Ishmael would have had the seed and the promise and the covenant. And Yahweh himself kind of undone it. That's why that Yahweh guarded. That's why he had to trick Isaac. Isaac was so fond and loved Esau. Now, isn't it a contrast? Here is Yahweh's son falling in love with the flesh of Esau. Because Esau was a man's man, and Isaac wanted to be manly, because little Jacob was a little stemmy individual. He got knocked out of the birthright just in the womb. Satan's advantage was that Esau was hairy and red. He was an Edomite. Something was placed in Rebekah's womb. It was not the seed of Isaac that produced Esau. I'm telling you, Esau didn't have one drop of the blood of Isaac or Yahweh in his veins, depending on which one got her pregnant. And I'll let you you got a choice here. You believe what you want to. But just take this information I'm passing on to you. Maybe you've never seen it in the way that I'm presenting. Maybe it's too far out for you to believe right now. But you think on these things, and after you think a while and ponder on these things, it will begin to eventually, if you're Yahweh's sheep, you'll hear it. You cannot keep from hearing, because he said his sheep, those who are born of his blood, I've got the blood of Yahweh in my veins. I'm not born of the will of man. Oh, my flesh man is born of John W. Johnson. But it was Yahweh that gave me the eternal spirit, because I was with him from the very foundation, and I chose my parents in the physical realm to come through. They created me a body of flesh, and I possessed it with the spirit of Almighty Yahweh, and I am an eternal being from the very foundation of the world. Before that, I am. And so are you if you're his sheep and you're born of Yahweh. So we are spirits manifested in flesh body. See, the flesh profits not because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. But in this case, this was a royal battle. The birth of Esau meant something because he was the firstborn. He maneuvered around, and Satan gave him the strength in the womb. He maneuvered around, and he got in front. So out he came, and he was to receive the birthright. Yahweh had to resort through the wisdom of Rebekah. Did Rebekah know something that Isaac didn't know? Was Isaac in the dark about this? Well, you know, there's some things that Yahweh don't even reveal to his prophets, because he said that he could reserve things from the prophets, but he wouldn't reveal anything unless he revealed it through the prophet. Isaac was a prophet, but he was a blind prophet at the time that he was to bestow the birthright, and he had already been won over by the manliness of Esau, as opposed to the spindly, whiny, mama's boy, Jacob. But Rebekah's wisdom and following the instructions of Yahweh and the Spirit, knowing that there was a warfare, because see, she's going to ask something right here now. And the children, verse 22, and we're still in the 25th chapter here of the book of Genesis. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" Now, what is she talking about here? If it be so that this is Yahweh's child, because see, she knew the covenant contract. If it's Yahweh's child, she didn't know she had twins. If it's so, why am I having such a hard time, and why is there such a struggle going on in my very belly? Because there was an intense struggle, kicking and jockeying for position. And she went to inquire of Yahweh. And here's a woman approaching Yahweh. Isaac didn't even know at this point what she was doing. She went to Yahweh and inquired. Now notice, and Yahweh said unto her, not unto Isaac. See, this thing is hid from Isaac. Because Yahweh knew that Isaac was going to go with the covenant. See, if Isaac had went any other way than give the blessing laying his hand upon Esau, he would have broke the covenant that he had sworn to Abraham. And Isaac was a prophet, and he would not break his word. He was his word. And if he had laid hands on Esau, Esau would have had the covenant blessing, and it would have been the seed of Esau inheriting today instead of the seed of Yahweh. Because you know who Esau was. He was a son of the serpent, and his children were sons of serpents. And Yahweh called them sons of serpents. He wasn't going to let them in. But they notice they're going to get into the house of Israel through the flesh line. They don't get in through the spirit line. But then the children of flesh are stronger than the children of spirit, and they're going to wrestle and take over as Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes, and they're going to rule the house of Israel through the tribe of Judah. And that wasn't what it's supposed to have been then. This was contrary to Yahweh's laws and to Yahweh's blessings and Yahweh's covenant oath. The house of Judah never did have the covenant to rulership. Oh, yes, they did, glory to God. Well, I've got a $5,000 reward for anybody can read where that Judah had a covenant to be birthright son. $5,000. That's just not being arrogant to try to put anybody down. It's just something to get your attention, for you to either study or to acknowledge that it's not in there. And it's not. As much as I can read, and I've been reading the Bible pretty good for 50 years. I can read pretty good. I'm an avid reader. I love to read. I love to study. So I've done my homework, and I haven't found it. You say, well, I've got it in my book and verse and chapter. Well, I need that book, verse and chapter, where that Judah had the birthright. It's just not in the Bible. And yet everybody and their grandmother thinks that the Jews are God's chosen people. And it's not true. Glory to God, it's not true. Well, why does everybody believe it? That's the craftiness and the subtleness of Satan. He can turn the truth around and make it disappear, and out of thin air, he can snap his finger, and a lie will appear, and the sheep will be following the lie, rather than the truth, and don't even realize the switch. That's how dumb we are. I'm telling you, we're a piece of cake. We ourselves are a piece of clay in Satan's hands. And Yahweh said unto her, two manner of people. Now that word manner, two manners. That's very intriguing if you go to Hebrew and read that. Two nations. Strong's number 1471. Now go look at that. Two nations. Two ethnic, genetic opposites of blood are in your womb. That's what it means. How did Rebecca wind up with two ethnic races, diverse and different from each other, as day and night? One's a good seed, one's a bad seed. How did that happen? Now you tell me how that happened. And now you're getting into the intrigue and the mystery of how the serpent got into the house of Israel. He keeps on and on and on. And he comes in the back door. You know, it's like the old saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And when Isaac was, he was just sitting over twiddling his thumbs waiting on his pottage, the lentils, that the soup, you know, the thing that he loved, the venison, and so because it says that Esau was a hunter. Well, it also says Nimrod was a hunter. A hunter for what? A hunter for souls. And yet, Satan knows the manliness, because, you know, if you've got a son, he's a little old Stanley sissy. Men with egos, and most of us have got egos, we don't want our sons to grow up and be little old spindly, what they call them today? Dorks. Nerds. I think that's the hip word today. Nerds. We don't want them to grow up and be nerds. We want them to be manly, growing hair on the chest, you know, say something about your daddy, knock your head off. Your mommy, knock your head off. You know, you called Jacob all kinds of names. The Bible said he was scared to death. He was scared of Esau. He's frightened of him. He's afraid he's going to kill him when he got the birthright. See, it wasn't Jacob's idea to do this. It was his mother. The mother had the revelation here. Thank God for women. It's got some, I don't know, it's an intuition. Hey, it goes beyond what a man can do. This woman was gifted because she was told by Yahweh. She had a personal conversation. Yahweh has told her the facts. He said, look, the enemy has sowed the tare into your womb, and I sowed the good seed. Basically, what he said. Now, you're going to have a problem here out of Isaac, because he's going to honor the contract that I gave him and bless the first one to come out, and that will be Esau. But I don't want him blessed. So I want you to come up with a plan to get that blessing on Jacob. He is my son. Jacob, my chosen. That's my son. I want him blessed. Because, see, Yahweh couldn't intervene. And so Satan was at a dilemma, you know. I mean, here, Rebecca, I mean, she comes up with an ingenious plan. She does trickery that, praise Yahweh, for those who are not afraid to launch out into deep and to go against what seems to be wrong. She was doing everything that she could to deceive her own husband. But just like Abigail, when old Nabob, when David asked for some food for his troops, old Nabal, he refused to give him any. And David's on his way to kill him. And Abigail took raisin cakes and provisions and wine and bread, fresh bread that she had had her servants to bake, and loaded the asses down. And she took it to David and offered it to him. He said, that just saved your husband's life. I was coming to kill him. And all of the male servants, I was going to kill every one of them. She said, well, please don't do that. Well, Yahweh had to do it anyway. Yahweh hardened his heart and he died. Because he hardened his heart against a man of Yahweh. But see, David didn't seem to be like a man of Yahweh. The people that was supporting David and his army was people that owed the government. Of the Basser sword, it said. One that owed debts and didn't have too good a reputation. But these men loved David and they fought for him and they won the victory. Just like Yahweh fought for Jacob, stood up for his lack of prowess, his lack of power, his lack of physical physique. And he used his mother, Rebekah, to deceive Isaac. He dressed old Jacob up after, see, Jacob had done bought the birthright. She'd been told him to do that. It's not written that she did say that, but when Esau got hungry, Jacob asked for his birthright. I'm sure his mother put him up to do it at the first chance to get Esau to sell the birthright. I think he didn't know nothing about it. He was still in the dark. Now, he'd never heard of that. He wouldn't have done it. It'd been against his moral principles because he was under the covenant command of his father. And whoever Isaac's going to lay his hands on is going to get a whopper. I mean, they're going to get a big blessing here. But the blessing went to the younger, not the elder. The blessing went to the second one out, not the first one. See, Cain was the first one. So the law was broken. No wonder Yahweh broke the tables of law. And you know what I told you, the two tables of stone represents the stones of a man. Written in it is all the genetic DNA within the family tree of that man, and that's called the trees of a garden. When you trace a family tree, you trace a man's seed, and he has two seeds, carries them around a little pouch, a little ark, just like the two tables of stone was in the little ark. It's all symbolic, but it's all real, and it's all blood. You see, sperm is blood, and Satan was trying to get his blood under the covenant blessing hand of Yahweh, and Yahweh was desperately, I mean, he had to resort to trickery, almost to the point of lying. Would you lie no liar's going to have a right into the kingdom of heaven. Well, you see, Yahweh corrected that when he said, invite both the good and the bad. You're going to have a few liars around just to help you out when you need it. Rebecca dressed Jacob up by putting animals' hides on Jacob's arms, because Isaac was blind, probably had cataracts. But anyway, he smelled like Esau, a man of the field. And he said, well, you smell like him and you feel like him, but you don't talk like him. See, I guess he had a little pot squeak voice like most of us as gods. You know, I admire these preachers that's got these great, deep, booming, magnetic, hypnotic voices. It seems like Satan blesses them with voices and gives the prophets of Yahweh these little old weak voices that we have to strain to talk. I almost have to holler. That's what we call it down here in Tennessee. We holler. Run over there and holler. Where you want me to run? We'll run over to the holler and holler. Well, we knew what that meant. You go in the holler over there and you holler forever who you're hollering for. That's why we talk down here. But the biblical evidence is at least that some Canaanites intermingled with the house of Israel. Now, on part three, I'm going to Genesis 46 to show you that the snake finally succeeded in getting into the bloodline of Jacob. And there is where the rubber meets the road, and the intrigue and the mystery deepens to where we can trail the serpent through the scriptures. Well, my time has just blowed on out of here. Praise Yahweh. I just get good and warmed up, and I have to quit. I'm used to going 2 or 3 hours in a teaching service and a preaching service because I get anointed and I have to get anointed, and then when I get anointed, I don't want to stop. So I really don't even want to stop here. I could go on and on and on about this for days, not hours, but days. I could go into some of the deeper mysteries of how the serpent got into the house of Israel. But for the time, I'd like to have 2 hours every night instead of one, but I've got one, and I'm thankful for that. People are very kind to share and give me time, and let me bring a dimension of scriptures. Maybe you haven't ever heard this dimensional expression before, and if you haven't, please don't get mad at me. Just take it for what it's worth and study for what it's worth, and if it adds anything to you, well and good. If not, just throw it in a trash heap. Put it in violets. Put it up on the shelf and think about it if you want to think about it and do that. But let me sow the seed. I'm sowing the seed. And if it gives you a thought and provokes you into deeper thinking, then I've done my job. This is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to Shepherd's Call. We'll be on Sunday night on WWCR, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, if you'd like to tune us in live. And I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary out of Natchez, Mississippi, and Dr. Jack, and others who help us to help you with some of the things that maybe you haven't ever heard, but we believe that they're true. And so we appreciate you as a listener. If you have any comments, you can just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live on the 31st day of August, last day of August, according to the sundial of the Gregorian calendar. We don't use that, but according to the world calendar, it's the 31st. Well, if you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to email me tonight, you're listening in on the Shepherd's Call on the Internet. We're downloading through the flagship 100.3 tonight, and we're uplinked into satellite and micro broadcasting systems around the world. Praise Yahweh, with the magic of the angel, the little satellites that fly around in the heavens. It's amazing. But that's the Father's will. He wanted the gospel to go around the world, and it is through this connection here tonight. So if you'd like to call me on a landline, area code 423-626-2172, but if you'd like to email me, that's real easy and simple, you can email buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. If you like my website, just ask for the website and we can give it to you. We got some interesting articles about what we're talking about. They're online. If you'd like to have that, you can have it. And we appreciate you being in our listening audience tonight. Like I said, we appreciate good people that love Yahweh and that are called according to his purposes. They will launch out into the deep, and they will study to show themselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Write it about in the word of truth. Well, you've got part two of how the snake got into the house of Israel. I'll be back Thursday night. I'll be off tomorrow night live. I'll be back Thursday night live on microbroadcasters.com. Tell a neighbor about us. Put us up on your favorites, Marcus, and pass it on. We'd be delighted if you do that. Yahweh bless you. Thank you.